What is up, everybody? Zayna here with another brief episode of What You Know on this Monday, September 21, 2020, for a Monday reboot. Pretty tired today, and there's been a lot of drama, and I'm starving, so I'm gonna keep this short here, and this is sage I'm burning, in case people think I'm burning something else over here. And you'll notice today that there's no bourbon on board because I would like to say I'm turning over new leaf, although maybe I am, but also because somebody finished the last of my bourbon without asking. That's just not cool. That's not something you do. So anyway, as per always, the disclaimer: this is unedited, unscripted, low tech, low quality, low budget, low know-how, just regular dudes starting out another week as we seem to slide further and further and further and further into the abyss, making some observations, trying to navigate all this craziness. And I'm starving, so I'm not going to take too much time today. I was really torn on what to talk about. Do I talk about the Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Oh, the holy Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her passing and what it means. I feel like other people in the mainstream news cabal or whatever have probably covered that amply. Excuse me. Just getting comfortable here. Although I will say a couple of things. Whether this is all just a game, it's reality TV, a false fight between two opposing forces, the evil, just heartless Republicans and the crazy, we're for the people, but secretly we're really not. We're just power hungry and make up all kinds of stuff. Democrats, it's really hard to tell. There's very few actual people that are for the people on either side. I don't have numbers specifically, but I would say it's like, you know, you could count them on your hand on either side of the aisle. So if I'm a libertarian conservative, I could probably only name a couple when I look at their records through and through. That I'm like, you know, I'm with you. There's just no way you can be part of this machine and not just be a total piece of crap at this point. However, what the Democrats, or I should say the Marxists, are doing in terms of holding the country hostage, here's just my observations, breaking it down insofar as the past several months, what I see. You know, a friend texted me this weekend and she said, you know, what are your feels on RBG? And I was like, it is so much bigger of a picture America has done. What I see is them holding the far left, completely holding America hostage. The violence will continue if you elect this person. The violence will continue even if you don't elect this person. So either way, violence is going to continue. Reverse racism is going to continue. We're going to continue. It seems to me, just as I talked about with Cory Buckner, real good guy, we didn't cover as much ground as we would have liked, but we're going to continue to see a complete, in my opinion, lack of attention to minority communities that so desperately need actual attention, desperately need people to actually invest in them, desperately need to be held up, recognized, included. We are going to continue to see violence and a movement that addresses, is not actually there to address any of that stuff. It's there to push something else. And in my belief, it's Bolshevism. It's the ushering in of a kind of a socialist Marxist state. Whether or not I'm right about that or not, I certainly hope I'm not. And I also want to go a little bit, I don't want to go any more than 30 minutes here. Like I said, I'm starving. And I'm just, today, man, I want to go a little bit down the rabbit hole with some stuff. So, I said unscripted, I banged out a little bit of a list here, not like it's that much, that's the list of things I needed from the store yesterday. Paper towels and Neosporin and water, in case anybody's interested. Shouldn't be. I wanted to talk about the brief hysteria with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And how the Democrats are holding us hostage with violence and protests, with stating they're going to change the rules, with making hypocritical statements, and with then making Puerto Rico, who, by the way, has voted numerous times on statehood, and I believe at least once in my, I shouldn't say numerous times, at least once in my lifetime that I can think of, and has decided not to be a state. And then talking about making Washington, D.C. a state, and also packing the courts. Now, I'm well aware that this could all just be a big game to get us distracted from what's really happening up top, which is not good. It's not good. From the movers and shakers, you know, the World Economic Forum, I put out a tweet this morning. They were starting to have some of their summits about the future today. Then we've got the Davos Summit in January. These people are for real and what they want to do. So all of this could be a distraction. All of this could be a distraction from that. But if this is really something that is, you know, this side is pro-America, Trump is really an outsider, he is for real, he's, you know, he's trying to restore America, American ideals, freedom, prosperity, things like that, and the other side is just trying to go for domination and power, which I'm fully aware that the anybody is capable of being like that. It does say a lot to me that they're willing to pack the court, convert two territories to states, and not only that, but the federal territory was for a very specific reason we can get into another time, no matter what you believe. If, you know, you watched Empire of the City and you believe that the three city states, you know, London, Washington, and Rome, that are not officially part of the greater entities that they're a part of, there's this whole conspiratorial thing there. There's actually a lot of merit to that. Or you believe that it was made that way so that we could maintain our federalist system. Either way, them saying that they're going to do that is wielding extraordinary power. That means that essentially we would have a unitarian government at the federal level. DC achieving statehood would essentially mean absolute dictatorship, and then them giving you know, the vote to people that are in jail, people who aren't citizens here, all kinds of stuff, would mean that there would never again be a voice for the minority of people, which is the point of a republic. Benjamin Franklin's old saying there, I think it was him, that democracy is two wolves and a sheep talking about what's for dinner, and in a republic, that sheep has a gun. So that's the difference. You know, you do your best you can under the circumstances to go ahead and protect the individual from mob rule, which is exactly what we're seeing right now. So the question is, where's this all going? So now we'll take a few minutes and never mind the news and go down the rabbit hole just a little bit with the Abraham Accord. By all accounts, a really good peace deal, right? Well, I did a lot of reading on it, and there's definitely some troubling symbolism here. This is pure speculation, and you know, I mean, a lot of people send me a lot of different stuff as a religious dude, and you know, there's talk in Israel about, you know, they're already in talks with the Messiah, this, that, and the other thing. I think it's important to note that in every generation they have a Messiah that identified. Whether or not this is bigger news this time around than it's ever been before, I don't know. The timing seems really interesting to me. Makes me wonder what they're going to pull off. It really, really does. The coin, if I can, let's see if I can pull that up. The symbolism on the coin itself, there's a coin, just to be clear what I'm talking about, there's a coin commemorating the Abraham Accords. And let's see here. And it's got a lot of symbols on there that are very interesting, to say the least, especially given what the Davos Summit, I believe, through the World Economic Forum is saying they're going to do, what you're seeing happening under the, you know, in light of the pandemic, the things they're saying we're going to need to change, we're having a change shortage, you know, very, very, very interesting stuff. So let's see here. This article inspired by the words. So let's just kind of look at the article, the coin. I wish I could pull it up and show people here, but I'm not going to get on Wondershare, which is our Filmora or whatever, because my computer sucks just so very bad that if I tried to do both, it just wouldn't. It would work if I was willing to put a lot of time and energy into it, which right now I'm not. For the volume of people that are watching this, it just doesn't seem worth it. Let's see. And of course, these are all like kind of like obviously not mainstream news sites, but it's worth interest. It's worth looking at, nonetheless. Okay. First of all, sorry. Wow, it's $150 to buy one of these. I'm trying to get a good image. On the back of the coin is a sword. Is syringes, which you know, could be symbolism for medical cooperation, research, or other things. There's the Wi-Fi. There's basically, if you look at the coin, coming out of the coin, we'll go back to images and see if I can get a decent image there to look at it. If you look at the coin, what you have is the sword, and then out of the sword you have a heart with kind of like what looks like a heartbeat monitor. You have two syringes with two drops. You have a satellite. You have gears. You have digital, like 0100, like digital language on there. Followed by, right above that, a satellite. Right above that, a rocket. Right above that, a dove with an olive branch. And then it's just like it's all like feeding into it to the end where it's Saturn. And I think the most interesting thing is, and of course I haven't done any research on this, so there could be perfectly logical explanation for all of these things. I could name off a few just off the top of my head, except for Saturn. Saturn is commonly known as the worship of Satan. I find it really interesting that at the end there, instead of the dove with the, what I believe is an olive branch, which is pretty well, like a pretty universal symbolism, I believe, for peace, then you have Saturn. So I guess I should look into it and not speak out of ignorance, but I do find that to be really questionable and concerning. I find it to be that way, not just because of some of the religious stuff that people have sent me. Apparently there's this pastor who has had these dreams. He says that they're prophetic and that he saw all of this coming. Well, maybe that's true, maybe it's didn't. We all have dreams. If you're living in the world right now and, you know, you're going, I mean, maybe you're having dreams about this stuff. If you watch the media and you're just like glued to it, of course you're having dreams about this stuff. Maybe his dreams are prophetic, maybe they're not. This dude, Dana Coverston, I'll look it up in a second, but what he predicts, I certainly hope it's not true, because what he predicts coming forward in the next few months is really outrageous and just outrageous. So I've tried to, I guess where I was going with this is I'm trying to separate some of the symbolism on this coin from some of the religious stuff people have sent me, which was kind of crap your pants, scary, all by itself. But not altogether unbelievable. I mean, if you piece it together, it can make sense if that's the way you're looking at the world. But the way I chose to look at some of the symbolism on the coin has more to do with where they say they're taking our economy with the Great Reset, what that all means. So if we're to look up, say, let's say we look up the World Economic Forum and their activity. So World Economic Forum, September 2020. The 21st, which is today, through the 24th, the World Economic Forum is having a Sustainable Development Impact Summit. All right. Also, September, and I think that this is kind of the itinerary here. Pathways for an Economic Reset, speakers. Okay. You're going to have to just go look this up yourself, because as everybody always knows, I'm bad with names, and I really just not even going to try. But I'll include the link in like the description box. Here's their description of the pathways for an economic reset, or at least in part. It just says description. COVID-19 is exposing the inadequacies of economic systems, causing global concerns for lives and long-term livelihoods. As leaders chart a transition to a greener and more inclusive recovery, what policy reforms are needed to reduce inequity and improve social mobility? So, I mean, to me, there it is right there. We've talked about it many times. What they're preparing for is to create a system that's Marxist in nature, that looks at equity of outcome, not equity of opportunity. And whenever you have that, what you're going to have, just that all by itself, never mind some of the other stuff people are talking about that's possible, like civil war, complete breakdown of society, persecution of different groups of people. Just on its face, if you put a system into place where you have equity of outcome, you're going to have a socialist nightmare where everybody lives in just filth and poverty, ultimately, and you have a few power brokers at the top, you know, who aren't subject to any of those conditions. But you'll have basic healthcare, it'll just be really crappy. But you'll have a monthly allowance that'll just be about as much as you can ever make, as far as you can go. And that's, to me, that socialist Marxist nightmare, which lends itself, if you are to think outside of the box, which lends itself to all kinds of different abuses of power and the like, that all by itself is scary enough. Then you add in the constitutional crisis we could find ourselves in, this whole Ruth Bader Ginsburg thing. Moreover, the constitutional crisis that they seem to want us to be in, and by they, I don't mean Democrats and far-left Marxists, even though I've said it many times before, I believe that this system, this big, ugly ruling elite is coming in through the left door. You know, they're coming in through, that's how they chose to manifest. But on both sides, what if what they want is just the maximum amount of division? Because I see no other reason that we can't endure, that we can't get through this. It seems like what they want is one crisis after next, and the bigger the crisis, we sort of brace ourselves, we lean into it, and we start to adjust to it, and then while it's still going on and metastasizing and getting worse, they hit us with a bigger one. They hit us with an even bigger one. The institutions of our nation, true, are all institutions instituted by man, are inherently bad, or have the ability to devolve into something evil and bad and unjust. But one thing that has been unique about us is that our institutions, for a time, were at least capable of standing up for themselves, because we had a system in place that was representative, while not perfect, that was founded on some ideals and had gridlock built into the system, so that you just couldn't willy-nilly just change the rules and create a one-party system, and then rule by mob rule, which is exactly what that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing. You know, when I saw, I think ABL, Anthony Brian Logan, did a clip on it, Newt Gingrich on Fox News, and he was talking about mob rule and these, you know, not having law and order in any form or fashion, and he brought up George Soros. I talked about George Soros's water instead of bourbon, yeah. Maybe it is time to turn over a new leaf. Yeah, I should be drunk right now. But anyway, they literally cut him off and said, there's no need to talk about George Soros. It was really awkward. It was really, really, really awkward. And as ABL, as Anthony points out, you know, on their website, they've mentioned Soros. I believe probably even in some of his opening monologues, Tucker Carlson and others have probably talked about George Soros. And he's by far not the only one putting money into all of these organizations that are not the really fluffy, nice-sounding organizations, but they're not there for our benefit. They're there to push us towards you know, a Marxist society. He is one of the big ones. This is a dude who, when he was 14, as a Jewish young boy, being kind of fostered by a Christian family that his dad stuck him with to protect him, went around and stole from other Jews being rounded up, deported, and killed, and said he felt nothing, there was nothing wrong with that. All right, I work with at-risk youth now. A lot of these kids have gang involvement. There are some who are legitimate gang members, and they express more remorse and understanding at 14 and 15 years old. So I don't want to hear that, oh, well, he was 14 and 15 in extraordinary circumstances. He seemed to take a lot of pleasure, actually, and the transcripts can be found in the Library of Congress. You can find interviews of this kind of thing. And wouldn't go as far as to say he was bragging and like braggadocious about it, even though kind of flirts with that. He certainly sees and saw nothing wrong with it then as a child, and looking back on it, a lot of us in our adulthood, you know, like we look back and like, I can't believe I made some of the choices that I made. What was I thinking? He didn't and doesn't lament, like, think about that at all. How in the world can you trust an individual who's feeding causes, who's sowing the seeds of chaos, an individual who did something like that? That's the manner in which he thinks. He's an opportunist, and he's using people. He's using people. He gives not a crap about racial justice. He gives not a crap about the black community. He's using them. And other minority groups too, and other causes, and other, I mean, we could do a whole episode on George Soros, and I'm sure, like, you know, even though I have like a whole 3 followers, you know, it would be banned like very quickly. The man is demonic, man. Like, behind everything really, really, really very bad, there's George Soros. So, anyway. About a lot of this stuff, I lost a little bit of sleep. I lost a lot of sleep last night thinking about a lot of this. There's always hope, but the reality is that with each passing moment, with each Monday reboot where, you know, I say let's prep for another week of the crazy, we have less and less. To the point now where, you know, what I'm preparing for, you know, let's take it back to Peter Turchin, who is a social scientist and said that, you know, the United States was going to descend into possibly civil war. You see all of this happening everywhere, right? And our leaders, our so-called leaders, the people in charge who are supposed to be, you know, we elected them, they're doing nothing to help parse out what's wrong and figure it out. So much so that it's like it's not even subtle anymore. You know, it's like when I was a kid and you know, watch like Hulk Hogan, what was it, the WWF, and you know what I mean, like when you're like 6, you might really think that they're like hitting each other and fighting each other, but by the time you're like 10, 11, 12, you're like, oh yeah, that's just an act. And you can look back at on it as an adult and be like, that's all just BS. It's just an act. It's for entertainment. It's not real boxing. It's not, you know. To me, I look at this and it's just the absurdity of it, how cartoonish it is. It's not like these two groups are just, you know, have different ideologies and they're just having a tough time coming together. It's like their refusal to do so, and they're full well knowing the consequences and what it may mean for the country, how horrifying, on a biblical level, horrifying it could be for the country, and yet they're still pushing it there anyway. You have to stop and ask yourself, is this scripted? Like, what in the world is going on here? I don't know. But anyway, be back to discuss more of this. Hopefully get together and discuss another topic with Corey at some point soon. And until then, everybody remember, you can only go with what you know. And in these crazy times, we know less and less, folks. Take care.